Our Easter joyful celebration continues in this wonderful 50-day season of Easter. And it was funny, though. We have a template that Melva uses for printing up the lectionary scripts that are read from the pulpit in big print, because none of us see real well. And the first reading, just out of habit, the template says Old Testament. And of course, as we've been talking about all Easter season, we swap out that Old Testament lesson during the 50 days of Easter for a lesson from Acts of the Apostles, which gives us that hint of the early church. And it shows us how things were changing. We remember, as we've said before, it's the Old Testament that points to what's going to be fulfilled in the New Testament. The Old Covenant points to the New Covenant. And so we see this picture, and there's something in here, and it's sort of not quite obvious, but and I've read this over and over again for years, and it just dawned on me this week, and I wanted to share it with you, because I think it's one of those little gems, it's one of those little jewels that show us just how things were shifting with this New Covenant. It's at the very end of that Acts reading. It talks about Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And you say, well, what's so significant about that? It really does point out how the Jewish people, with their old covenant, were shifting to this new covenant. Because what might get lost in translation here is that Joseph, he's not just a Levite. If he's a Levite, he's from the tribe of Levi. If he's from the tribe of Levi, to the Jewish people, that is the one and only tribe that produced priest. You had to be from the tribe of Levi to be a priest. And the way the priest would survive is people would bring their gifts to the temple, just like we bring our offerings on Sunday, right? So that we can keep the ministry of the gospel alive. And that's how the priest would live. They would bring a tithe to the temple, and the priest would live off of a tithe of the tithe and be able to serve the people. But Joseph, this Levite, what does he do? He brings his possessions and lays them at the apostles' feet. Why? Because the apostles are serving a new high priest. The apostles are now fulfilling what was pointed to in the Old Testament by preaching this new high priest whose name is Jesus Christ. And by the way, Jesus is not of the tribe of Levi, which also turns everything upside down from the Old Testament scriptures. In fact, what we learn is in the book of Hebrews, and this gets also foreshadowed for us in the book of Genesis, is that Jesus is a priest. He is the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And that just changes everything. But we have on this Good Shepherd Sunday some beautiful lessons for us. The gospel ends with this particular statement by Jesus. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And that's a very direct reference again to the Christians. That's us, folks, that we're not born into Judaism. We're from a different sheep pen, but we listen to his voice and we come to him by faith, not being born in, but adopted into the family of God by the merciful power of God through Jesus Christ. And on this Good Shepherd Sunday, we're given that beautiful psalm, wonderful psalter to pray together. And you might have heard me say this before, because we use the 23rd Psalm frequently at what? Funerals and memorials. And I've said this before, I think it gets a bad rap because it gets forever sort of associated with funerals and with death. It's kind of like a few weeks ago we were talking about Doubting Thomas. He gets forever labeled as the doubter, even though he comes around and he makes a proclamation, my Lord and my God. He can't shake that history of his. And Psalm 23 sometimes gets pegged in that same way. But if you're careful in your read of Psalm 23, if you pray Psalm 23, I want you to pray it with new eyes. I want you to pray it as a psalm of life, because that's really what it's about. It's not about death at all. It's about the new life that's promised you in the Good Shepherd. And who is that? The Lord. David comes right out the box. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I want for nothing. He will take care of everything I need, providing me everything I need exactly when I need it, because he is faithful. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Green pastures is where sheep would feed. You need some water to be able to rest and to take it in and to be refreshed. And we, of course, need water in the physical. We need water in the spiritual. That's our baptismal covenant, isn't it? The still waters, that we go down into the waters with Christ and come up as a new creation. This is all Old Testament scripture, again, that prophesies the beauty of the covenant of the New Testament. "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." I've said this before. In philosophy, the optimist says the cup is half full. The pessimist says the cup is half empty. If you're a Christian, you need to understand what God tells you about the cup. Your cup overflows. It overflows with blessings. And you need to bear that in mind. In the good times, it's easy to remember that, and you need to profess that, and you need to state that out loud. You need to share that with people. But there's going to be times that are going to be rough too. But the reason you need to profess that in the good times is it becomes habitual. It becomes a habit of the heart. And you know that even when you're going through the storms of life, you can declare, "There's nothing I shall want. The Lord will provide for me. He brings me to still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. My cup overflows with blessings." It's something that we need to not only get down deep in our hearts for our own lives, but it's something that we need to be willing to share with other people, especially when they're in time of need. My encouragement to you in the coming week is to meditate on the 23rd Psalm. Wake up every morning, maybe bring the bulletin, we have it printed in the bulletin. Bring the bulletin home with you, put it on your nightstand. When you wake up in the morning, read that Psalm. Declare it out loud. Pray it as the actual prayer. Start your day that way. Before you lay your head down to sleep at night, pray it again. And watch the power of God's word being prayed in your life. It truly is life-changing. I can promise you that. Why? Because the Good Shepherd is life-changing. He's not just any old shepherd. He's not just any old hired hand who's going to run away when times get tough and the wolf shows up. He's the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, for the flock. And that's exactly what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. And on the third day, he rose again. Therefore, we say, "Alleluia, the Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah." I pray that you receive it in the blessed name of our Trinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let all God's children say, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My brothers and sisters, I invite you to rise this morning, and let's profess our faith using the Apostles' Creed.